From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another edition of Lean Local. This is the show in Green Bay where we do what we say and we lean local. We have our concerns, like everyone, about what's going on the federal level. And we have concerns about Ukraine. We have concerns about the Gaza Strip. We have concerns about the presidential debates. And we watch that, and the media covers that. And of course, in the state, at the state level, in Madison, you know, we all know the governor just signed a bill to have a special election. That'll be contested, but there will be a special election for a couple Senate seats and Congress as well. And that's important as well, right? But what we do here on Lean Local is we talk about the local issues. And we're going to really address that head on today with a subject, an issue that, as many of you know, my heart's in that. And that's the homeless. And we, as some of you know, I work at the New Community Shelter. And you know, after being mayor for 16 years and really 20 years in politics, that's the real deal. As much as we talk about, you know, and there's a lot of great stuff, you know, we've got the city deck and we've got, you know, some new buildings going up. And you've heard on this show the last couple of weeks, we've had presidents of the village of Howard, the village of Ashwaubenon, the village of Hobart, and of course the village of Alloway. And they all got great development things going on, but no one talked about, and when I asked what's all going on, is the issue of homelessness. And we're going to talk about that today in a very special way. And I'll get to our guests in just a second. The other reason I called this show Lean Local is, you know, we don't lean left, we don't lean right. And it's, look, and I get the whole left-wing, right-wing politics. Like I said, I've been in it for some time. But what we're doing here on this show, and especially today, is we're just going to talk about nonpartisan issue that's facing this community and this country in a big way, and that's homelessness. And I bet you're expecting me to introduce some people who work for the Brown County Coalition on Homeless, or they work for this agency or that agency. My guests today are two, I'll call them friends of mine who I've met working at the New Community Shelter that are working through homelessness. I mean, these are, we're all one or two steps away from where these guys are, and wait till you hear their stories. Robert is with us. He was homeless a couple years ago and is working his way out of that, and he's going to tell you more about his life. And then Jeremy, who super interesting in that he was a really renowned chef here in Green Bay. Some of you, I'm not going to use their last names, but you would recognize him. He's been on TV, and you know, they just had some issues, and you know, by the grace of God and a lot of effort on their part, they're working their way out of this. And both these guys are going to be productive citizens, volunteering and giving back to the Green Bay community in just a very short time. But wasn't always that easy.
No, it wasn't.
So, Robert, just a little bit of your story. You're born and raised in Green Bay. You're a Green Bay guy.
Yes, I'm originally from Green Bay. I've lived here almost all my life. I was married for 20 years, and my divorce started falling apart after about 3 years, and then everything just went out of whack, and I ended up staying at a motel for a while. And
so your wife kind of asked you to leave?
Yeah. Oh. And then I was staying with a few friends and staying at their couch and paying them rent until his wife got fed up with me and told me to leave too. So, and I ended up staying in a park above a slide on a platform with various blankets and pillows on the east end of town where nobody really bothered me at all. And I was always protected at night. I had God on my side, and that's what kept me going all the time. And there would be some times when I wouldn't be able to eat for about 15 hours a night.
So, all right. So you're married. Things didn't work out. Your wife kind of kicked you out. You went to a friend's house, and your friend who wanted to take you under his wing, his wife, you know, said, look, Robert can't stay here anymore. What was that day like? When did you say to yourself, I'm homeless? Or did you say, look, this is just going to be a one-night thing?
Well, after I thought about it, it kind of dawned on me, like, it happened. Why is this happening to me? But all of a sudden I looked at it and I went, oh, God, okay, what am I going to do now? So then I said I'd try to find some other people to help me and stuff. And then all of a sudden I just ended up out in the street, started drinking, doing a lot of drugs. And then all of a sudden it just got to the place where I just couldn't take it no more. And then somebody told me about New Community, and I called them up every day and kept checking in and checking in, even though it took a little while. But by the grace of God, I'm there, and I'm keeping things going for me. And
how long were you sleeping in this park on the east side? And were you working then, or were you?
I was working. I was working for 6 years.
But I suppose the alcohol and drugs brought an end to that.
Yes, they did. They went right in there. They all of a sudden just let me. They got control of me, and I couldn't. I just got fed up with working. I got tired and lazy, and I said, to hell, you know? And I was like, and I was just realizing afterwards, I just couldn't take it no more because I started running out of money and started, you know, dumpster diving and everything. And
right here in Green Bay, and that's like, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago? That's unbelievable. Yep. That, you know, 2022, you're in Green Bay, sleeping on a slide, dumpster diving.
Yep.
Wow. How long did you live that, like, unbelievable life?
Well, it was pretty close to 8 months.
Wow. It was a long 8 months. All right. Before I get to your turning point, I want to bring in Jeremy. And Jeremy, you know, I've talked to you a little bit, and I'll get to both your talents in just a little bit. But, Jeremy, you were pretty successful.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people would know you if they saw you. And you were a well-renowned chef.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You were on TV.
Yeah.
You had a great following. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would have bet on you.
Yep. Yeah. The last 5-6 years I was working up in Door County, had vehicles. I lived in a nice place. I had a nice job. I was making good money. I was also drinking a lot, and, things were happening to me that I couldn't quite understand. I kind of, I attributed it to the alcohol. And then finally, I tried quitting several times, but, once I did quit, these things just kept happening to me, and I ended up in the hospital, and they took some brain scans, and they found out that I had a spot on my brain, and I was having seizures this whole time, and I didn't know that that's what they were, because I don't remember them, so I just thought it was the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then when I'd stopped drinking, I found out that it wasn't just the alcohol. The alcohol maybe caused it, but I to this day I still get seizures.
Isn't that though kind of a medical condition? I mean, what happened with the employment? I mean, like I said, I you were really good at what you did, but did the company not support you, or was it the alcohol that they wrote it off to?
Well, no, I actually kind of asked at first if I could like reduce some hours, and that just in Door County is just not possible.
Right.
And, you know, and it was like, okay, well then I just got to go. And then I went and stayed with a buddy, and I was going for disability. Come to find out it takes like 18 months to get disability.
Yeah.
And I've got no money at this point. And I was selling plasma for money, locally. And then when they found out when I got put on seizure medicine that I can no longer donate plasma, I was staying at a buddy's house for a few months, and then it was time to leave there. So then I stayed in my van for a little bit until the heat went out in the van. And then I went to St. John's and stayed there for about a month and a half. And when I found out that they were going to close the doors for the summer, then I had to, you know, like, come up with a plan. And my case manager said, you know, you got to call New Community and make sure you call every day. And I did. And actually, it took my second phone call to have them say, yep, we got a spot for you. And I went there, and everything's been great ever since. You know, I do all the programs that they want, and even the ones that I'm not even signed up for. You know, I volunteer in the kitchen when I can. They accommodate me for when I need to rest and stuff like that. And it's just, I really love it there.
And we can tell. I mean, you guys have a pretty good bounce in your step, you know, and I didn't know you before this. I've been to St. John's. I don't want to talk about them, but it really disappoints me that they close on May 1st. And who the hell are they to say that, okay, you're not homeless anymore? I mean, what hospital closes on May 1st and takes the summer off? I mean, it's just, it's just, I mean, if you're going to get in this business, like we are, and like a lot of companies are, like organizations are, you got to be all in, because you can't leave you in the middle of the night or in the middle of you can't take a month off. I mean, you need New Community, or you need programming. You need shelter all 365 days, not just in the summer when you can sleep outside or whatever that is. So tell me why, like, Robert, were you at St. John's?
Yeah, I was at St. John's.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
And what was your experience?
Oh, I did not really like it there at all. It was kind of leery for me because all the drinking and stuff that was going on, and all through this pocket searching and where the way that you had to sleep in there. And I just felt very uncomfortable, so I never went back there. That's why I'd rather stay out in the streets.
Okay, we're going to get the transition point when you decided NEW, how you find out about it and what you're doing now. Because, you know, for a guy that... like me, that works at NEW, we work hard there as staff, but you guys work harder than we do. And we say that all the time at our staff meetings. It's like, you know, we mention you by name, but the other thing that anyone can get out of this, I don't want to be that easy. It's hard work, though. I mean, you know, I had a brother, two brothers are alcoholics, and that's hard to quit that. But the programs are out there, and I just think you talk about leaning in, boy. You just got to lean into a new life. And we're going to get back. We're going to talk a little bit more about your experience, your transition from one shelter to another, and two very good people in the community. We are talking to Robert and Jeremy about being homeless and how to get out of it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Lean Local. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt, and we are that's Green Bay Boogie. I like that song, so I just I don't play that at the shelter, but I play it here. We're talking about these are two Green Bay citizens that are experiencing. You're kind of right in the middle, kind of working your way out of homelessness. Is that fair to say? I mean, you're still
it is.
You're still at a shelter, but you feel better.
Yes. Much better.
Very much.
Yeah. And that's cool. And we're going to get to that. But your decision to seek help, was it you? Was it your parents, your friends? Who said, look, or was it done on your own for you to start making the phone calls and saying, look, I
had to make that decision my own because I started getting fed up with everything. And, you know, it's like everything else was controlling my life. Alcohol and all the drugs, and then all of a sudden it just got to the place where I just got really fed up with it.
Yeah, like I'll try anything.
Yep, I'll try anything is right.
I mean, you and when people come in, it's like if you do nothing, we know what's going to happen, right? Because you've been living that
exactly.
So we'll try this, and if this works, and you. Same Jeremy, or what was your trigger to say, look, I got to get some help. This is crazy. I'm not saying there's people who like being homeless, but there's people who don't want to do anything about it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I don't take anything away from them, but it's like to get help. I mean, that's, you got to humble yourself a little bit, yeah, and
you're going to have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I did. My heat went out in my van and I made a phone call and they said, yeah, show up, a little bit before five, stand in line and come on in for intake. And then you just, you know, there's certain crimes you couldn't have committed to get in, yeah, and, you know, and I was cool, you know, it was good with that. And, you know, and I got in there and I'm kind of like with Robert on that one and the whole searching and the drinking and all that stuff. And I heard horror stories about new community and none of them were true.
Yeah.
And none of them. And I got in there and it's been a heck of a ride. I mean,
you guys, I haven't personally experienced it, but quitting alcohol and drugs is hard.
Oh, extremely.
You know, oh, yeah. And people have, yeah, I mean, I, you know, if I say my brother, I'm kind of telling you who it is, but like four or five times he went through treatment.
Same here.
Yep. So have I.
Really? Like what? You're doing really well now. I mean, both you guys, we're going to talk about what you're doing now in your life, but I don't get to that first, but what was it? Is it the rock bottom or is it finding a higher power? Is it somebody in your life that comes in and says, look, I'm going to hold your hand through this? Or how do you accomplish something that a lot of people don't?
Well, for me, I had to do a lot of prayer and praying for God, you know, come on, help me, you know, get me through this every night, you know. It's like struggling, then trying to reach out for people to help me and all the letdowns and everything. And it was like, okay, God, you got to make a way. I know you can make a way for me. And it happened.
No.
Me, I had a doctor look me square in the eye and say, if you want to die, you keep drinking. You're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, that's between the eyes.
Mm-hmm. That,
and there's some people who do choose to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost unbelievable. It's not suicide, but boy, it's close to it.
A guy I knew from St. John's just died.
Yeah.
And he got out of there and he went and had a good job and got an apartment and everything. And then he just went right back to drinking again and he died.
And I've talked to, Larry's been on our program. Larry is the alcohol and drug counselor. He's been at NEW for 15 years, actually 40 years in the industry.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is, definitely.
And boy, with all the people he's helped, they're all individual, but they give, Larry says this all the time. When I talk to him, he said, they give me too much credit. It's you guys that do it. He said, I'm just there. So
I've been to AA and I've been to AODA. And every time I ever left those classes, all I want to do is leave and drink. I go to his classes and I can't wait for the next one.
Wow. Okay. So Larry he does have an impact. He says he doesn't.
My case manager only wants me to go to one a week. I go to all of them.
Yeah. Those programs are out there, but you know, I will say, Jeremy and Robert, you too, you want to go to those things. You're not going because you have to. Yeah, you're going to get kicked out. You guys kind of almost look forward to that. You know, every community but most communities in the United States are dealing with homelessness. And if you look at, I sometimes look at California, Governor Newsom, who was Mayor Newsom, San Francisco was elected the same year I was. And I knew him a little bit through conferences. I served on a couple agencies with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And they have thrown a tremendous amount of money at homelessness in California, the city of San Francisco and, of course, the state of California. And you can read some reports that it's just not getting better. And but there's other things that are being tried. People are concerned and people, I don't know if the word's desperate, but what do you guys think? There's a community, I think it was Sacramento, wasn't Sacramento. I'm trying to think of but they just said, look, we're just going to give everybody $900 a month because you can read a report here that says, you know, one of the biggest issues with homelessness is poverty. So they said, well, let's just give everyone, you know, poverty on a global scale, poverty is one of the most significant root causes of homelessness. I think that's a true statement. People get a job. maybe that doesn't always work. So let's just give them money. What do you think about that?
I think it's ridiculous.
So do I.
$900 a month, first of every month, $900. Why is that ridiculous?
Well,
because a lot of people just like to either have their drug habit or alcohol, because they have no supervision on doing, and some people just don't like, maybe they'll get a room for a night or a week, and you know, and that'll be enough. That's all they need, you know, to get themselves cleaned, and you know, they just blow it and do it, whatever.
They're already comfortable on the street. They already know how to live that way. You giving them that money is not going to change that. Now they're rich and homeless, I guess you'd say.
That amazes me that you guys say that, because you would be the recipients. Yes. And you're saying it's not a good idea.
No, not unless it would be a good idea if I had my disability and I had an apartment. Yes, I would take that. I would take that money and I would use it towards the way it's supposed to be used. But I'm the one making the steps. You know, the most or some, maybe not most, but some of them wouldn't do that.
All right. There's a couple other things that are being tried. I want to talk to you guys about it. We got to go to break. This goes quick. I appreciate you being here. I really appreciate your honesty. I know you're a little uncomfortable coming in here, but I mean, the only thing we're going to learn in this community is to talk to the people on the front line, and that's you two guys. And we appreciate you being on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're going to be right back with Robert and Jeremy, talk about being homeless in Green Bay and how you can work your way out of it. We'll be right back.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to the second half hour of Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We've been talking about an issue that is just not relevant here in Greater Green Bay, but, you know, throughout the United States, and that's homelessness. And, you know, on April 16th, which is, you know, not that long ago, there was an article in the Press Gazette, you know, and the headline was Brown County's homeless numbers startling. A coalition leader said, we had a coalition leader come up here from Madison and assessed our homeless population. And, I'm sure you've read the article, but just how it it's just grown significantly here in Brown County. And yet, I look at some other articles and I hear quotes that, you know, state of Brown County, that we're in a very good spot. And I think we are on some things. I think we are on some development. I think we are on some infrastructure. I think we are on, you know, a new visitor and convention bureau. But, you know, a real city and a real community is not perfect. And, you know, we struggle with homelessness and we struggle with fentanyl and a couple other things. And I invited two friends of mine who are experiencing homelessness, but working their way through homelessness. Very proud of both these guys. And they've been talking, you know, if you listen to the last half hour, where we're talking about solutions. And again, at these mayor's conferences, you know, these mayors stand up and this is what we're doing and this is what's working. And we had talked just briefly about some communities just give out money. This is, you know, it's your decision. It's your life, but you know what's best for you. And we're going to give you whatever, $8,000-$9,000 a month. And for two guys who would receive that, you don't think that's the answer?
No. Not unless you're looking at population control for the homeless.
And how would that work?
Because they're already used to being on the streets, and they would prefer to stay that way. And I think that would just make them drink more and do more drugs and get, you know, hotels and just do it until it's all gone. I to be honest with you, I think they'd be dead in a couple months.
Yeah, well, then that's not the solution at all.
No.
What about Have you heard of these wet houses? It's where they provide the alcohol.
Oh, for people going through withdrawals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Heard about that.
Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What do you think of that? You guys have quit drinking. You guys, I don't want to say anything. Are you guys both alcoholics? I mean, is
yes.
That,
okay.
Yes. Yes. Right. We're both.
Okay. Have you thought of the wet house? It's kind of like, well, they're going to drink, so let them drink, but at least they're.
Well, I'll tell you this. I got COVID and I had long COVID. They ended up hospitalizing me and I let them know. I said, all right, doc, just so you know, I'm an alcoholic. So we're going to have to deal with COVID and then you're going to have to start dealing with withdrawals too.
Yeah.
And withdrawals aren't nice.
No.
And he said to me, he said, okay, do you want to quit drinking? I said, eventually, but not right now. I mean, I have COVID and I don't want to go through withdrawals too. This might kill me. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what. He says, I have a bottle in the back and I'll prescribe you 2 ounces every couple hours.
Wow.
And he did. And the nurse sat there and she brought in a little cup, 2 ounces of Southern Comfort. Just shoot it, and she wouldn't come back for another 2 hours, no matter how many times I pressed that button and asked for it. And she sat there and waited until I drank it.
Wow. Well, I want to give that doctor some credit for knowing that you probably couldn't have handled both.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's a medical condition. I mean, there's no question about it, that withdrawal. But you both have gone through that, you know? And there's another solution out there. It's called Housing First. And it's just they take people off the street. And you put them into a furnished home. That's not the most difficult thing in the world for a community to do. But will it work? Because you will be in your own place, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But you're learning how to live, and I think to go from, some of the people that we bring into the shelter, I'm saddened by what little they know about how to clean or how to vacuum or how to do dishes. You know what I mean? And so you're learning that as you're in the shelter.
Learning how to be more responsible for doing stuff and having chores and,
With this Housing First though, Robert, like they just, you go and you see this guy's homeless. It's like, well, look, here's an apartment for you. Can that work?
No, they really should, have a program where they can follow steps in order for them to, to build up everything back over again. That way they can recover from what all the damage they have done to their lives.
Yeah. It starts every day. It starts with getting up and making your bed.
Yeah. And you guys do that.
Yep.
Well, so the rest of us in the room. But, right. Yes.
And as long as they have some support.
Right.
At New Community, there's support structure. There's if you ask for help, you're gonna get it.
Yeah.
You know,
I've told a story and I actually told it today because we had a group of volunteers in today and I just remember at Christmas, and I don't know if you guys came to that group. You were there, Robert.
I was there.
And it was 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and we went around the room and I'm like, are you feeling the Christmas spirit? I mean, the place was decorated, but that can be a facade too for some people. And I said, and to a T, everyone around in that room was like, I feel the spirit. I'm safe. There's people who care about me. That one guy, he said, this is the best Christmas I ever had. And he's in a homeless shelter.
Yep. That was the best I ever had too for years.
That says a lot that people can get out of that. So I think what I kind of wanted to hear is that to jump to a solution sometimes isn't the answer. You kind of got to work your way to the solution.
Yes, you do.
You can't expect a solution from your problem unless you direct it for your own self. You can have other people solve it, and then you can have the tools to build with.
So you're aligned, this supportive housing or what the shelter offers is case managers. You want to talk about you don't have to mention them by name, but your case manager, what's the relationship or When I talk to the case managers and I thank them, they're like, oh, I don't really do much. They do all the work. But
yeah, it's like I've been told by my case manager, I'm doing everything tenfold. You know, it's like going to work, you know, doing my chores, because I always set up breakfast every morning. People love me for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you're a lifesaver. You must save some people's lives because we can have coffee.
We love our coffee.
But I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing by the rules and gradually building up enough credibility because I want to start becoming an author, getting all my poems published and, you know, having finances for that, you know, and getting my disability too. You know, it's like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do accordingly.
On this, let's call it I'm going to call it training, but on this road to recovery, right? You walked in day one and it's like, there's some rules here. Was it day one that you said this is great, or did it take some time to say, wow, this is what, was there a turning point that you really said, wait a minute, this is the way I should be living my life?
It took me about a week to get adjusted because I was kind of isolated from my own self. And I didn't want to have no involvement with nobody around me, you know?
Now you're the life of the party there.
Yes, I am.
I didn't know you back then, but that's awesome. Yeah.
Because every time everybody sees me, hey, Robert.
Yeah. That's cool. And how about you, Jeremy? I mean, I don't want to use the word fall, but I'm going to. You really had a lot going for you.
I did.
You know.
I did.
That's when I first met you. I was like, wow, I think I know you. And then you tried another shelter, didn't really work. You're sleeping in your van, that didn't work. And when you got to a shelter that had programming, I really don't want to call it rules. It's really programming is what it is. But you have to accept that programming or you're going to be asked to not stick around.
Yeah, it was structure.
Yeah. And did you appreciate that day one, or did it take some time? Because without structure and with structure, those are two different worlds.
I appreciated day one. It took me about a week to get my bearings. And, you know, the very first thing I noticed was the bed. That was the very first thing I noticed, the bed. It's so comfortable.
Beats the van.
Beats the van.
Beats the ground.
Yeah. There was, and I was very appreciative towards everybody. And I did like the fact of the doing the breathalyzer when you have to, you know, I mean, hey, you want to keep it a nice place?
Yeah.
Keep it a sober place.
You know, yes, I would agree with that. But I will tell you that as an organization, and I'm on the board there, we've turned grants down because the grant says you can't breathalyze. And that's part of our program. You can say cult structure, whatever you want. But we have the right to, and it's for your own good that we do breathalyze people. And if you fail that, we're going to ask you, you know, to do some corrective action because, and I don't think you live under the fear of that. I think you're very confident. You're like, yeah.
You know, it's like,
just walk up to the front, grab your straw and be like, okay, come on.
And blow.
And all right, sign my name. Have a good night.
Yeah. And it's working.
See you in the morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
4:30 comes early. Yes.
I want to talk before we go to break here about your case manager. And like, you don't have to mention by name, but how important is that? You guys are both on your way to being very successful, tax-paying citizens that are, I just have this feeling you're going to be giving back someday and volunteering or cooking meals or donating your profits from poetry. But I want to talk about the case manager, how important that is in that step. We talked about housing. You know, everybody understands Maslow's hierarchy of needs and that, you know, you've got to have a safe shelter. And I think that needs to be provided. And some shelters have some, not safety, right? There's some police calls, there's some fights, and we wouldn't have.
Stabbing's going on too, you know, it's like, whoa.
Right. So to have a safe place and then to have quality food.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just, I mean, that's no secret, right? Everybody, those are the first two things you need. Then you can start making decisions.
Yeah.
And
my case manager is great. I just tell her about things that happened to me since the last time I was there. And then, you know, pretty much at the end, she says, is there anything I can get for you, Jeremy? Yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, like maybe a bus pass or a backpack and that's it. She goes, okay, here's your new,
And how often do you meet with your case manager? And
a couple times every month.
Okay.
And if I needed to see her sooner, I could always request to see her sooner. Or I could leave notes on her door or stuff
right.
like that.
And she would see you at, yep. at okay. And Robert, do how often do you?
I see mine every Monday at 1:30 in the afternoon. So
little structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, do you look forward to those meetings?
All the time.
Yeah.
Because it always makes my day to make her day. And it's like, you know, okay. I have nothing else to say. Okay.
Do you think the program of no alcohol, chores, potential breathalyzers when meeting regularly with case managers, can that work for everybody? I mean, it's working for you guys. I mean, like, and other stuff didn't work for you guys. I mean,
like they say, people are going to want it bad enough if they want it. So
it's being an adult,
right? Yeah.
Being responsible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are awesome. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you're going to do next. And I know the answer, but you're going to tell us about it because you both have talent. You've got more confidence, I think, than you did before you entered the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sense that in the short time I've known you. And I think you're going to get out there and you guys want to run for mayor?
As long as not president, right?
That'll get you back to we're going to talk about what you're going to do because you both have talents and you are both very giving people. We're going to be right back and talk with Robert and Jeremy about, you know, we talked a little bit about their journey and really what their next step is, and they're going to share that with the listeners here on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Stick around, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We are discussing with two great guests. I was really looking forward to this show, too. Two guys who have experienced homelessness. And those of you who are listening earlier, I mean, from sleeping in your van without heat to sleeping on a slide so you can stay out of the elements and to finding a facility that has worked for you that you've worked with. And you guys are both great residents at New Community Shelter, which is, and there's other shelters out there, but I mean, you guys have found a home there, but it's not going to be your permanent home.
No, it's not.
You know, you have goals. You tell us what, Robert, what are your plans? And you,
well, my plans are, you know, get myself financially stable and then build up my credit again, you know, and get some really nice, good housing for my own self. You know, become an author, get my poems published, and still come to the shelter and help other people whenever I can, you know, and help out if they need help to be a volunteer.
It, that is like awesome, right? You're going to, you know, you're going to get a place, you're saving money now. I mean, I know we ask, you know, I sometimes think, you know, we ask these residents to save 70% of their money. I have never saved 70% of my money. However, you are you're working on that and you do have some less expenses, but you know, so you save that up, you find a nice place. I want to just touch on your poetry. You've always liked poetry, but
yes,
you kind of gave
since
it,
I was in eighth grade, so.
But you gave that up or, cause you write a lot now.
Yeah, I gave it up for a little while, and then all of a sudden I just started coming back to it, and now I'm up to about 80 poems. I had, when I was married, I had over 300 of them that I was getting ready to be published, but those got tossed, so. And that cost me 6 years of my life of being sober, and then after that it just, boom.
No.
And now, since I've been coming out of this homelessness, and I started at the community Who Community Shelter. I've been writing ever since. So,
you brought a couple poems with you. Anything you want to share with our listeners? You got? Yeah. I mean, you got a favorite?
New Beginning.
Why don't you read New Beginning? You, when did you write this? Like, well, a few months ago.
I wrote this one like 2 months ago.
Okay.
So, anyways, New Beginning is for the year. We can let out a great big cheer. New beginning with a good start. There is such a good feeling in your heart. New beginning with a good friend that will be there until the end. New beginning starts with you when you all find love that is so true. New beginning will be there to last, forgetting our past. New beginning, when we have peace, everything else will cease. New beginning knows how to love, sent down from God up above.
That's awesome. And you're getting a new beginning.
Yes, I am.
You know? And Jeremy, I hope for the good of people like me who love to eat are going to get back into being a professional chef again. What are your plans?
Well, it really depends on my health, because with the seizures, I got to be around sharp knives and fire and hot grease, and that's probably not a good combination. I don't know anybody that would hire me with that. And plus, right now, my health is keeping me from... I mean, being a chef, you have to sit there and read tickets, and it's very stressful. And stress usually is what induces the seizures.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be able to do that. And you have to be on your feet, and I get dizzy and stuff like that. So, you know, I need something that can work around that. So what, in the end, what I wouldn't mind doing is actually coming back and volunteering at the shelter in the kitchen. Because the shelter can work around those. If I get dizzy, I can go sit down.
Right.
If something happens, I can go sit down. Right. You know, and I can get through the seizure and then come back.
I've been the recipient of some of your unbelievable meals. I mean, you rattle them off like a chef, right? It marinated this, and I don't know. You guys have just a great vocabulary when it comes to food. But when I see you working that kitchen, you're in your element.
I am. I like being in there. Yeah.
And you don't really bark out the orders like that guy on TV. I mean, you do give direction.
I do.
I mean, yeah, this goes in, right? Or you've been in there, Robert?
He's
like,
I
this
have.
Goes in at 10 after. It's like, okay. Not 11 after, not 9 after. This goes in at 10 after into the oven.
And make sure it's the right temp, too.
Yeah, He's always. And that's a gift. And I hope, and I think that will happen to you. I do think someone is going to... Look, with your talent, I think you got to work around no one's perfect, and you got to work around those things. But, I know the shelters, and we appreciate the meals that you make there. And we have a lot of volunteers that come, but, you know, we have a few, you know, times where we don't have. And I think some people like when the volunteers don't show up so that you make the meal. Some of those desserts are pretty awesome.
I enjoy it. And plus, my chore every day is I wash dishes from 5 to 6.
Right.
So there's a little window in the cafeteria, and I get to see them get the food and then eat it.
Right.
And then come to my window and give me their dishes and tell me how much they like it.
Right. And the tray's empty.
Yes, and the tray's empty. Yep.
That's good. Yeah.
Hey, so you guys, we're going to wrap this up here. And I just want to thank you for coming in. I know I'd asked, and I appreciate you being here. But, like, if someone listening that homeless, or if there's someone listening that works with the homeless, do you have a piece of advice? Or I really don't want to do that, if you could wave a magic wand, because there's no such thing. But I mean, what do people need to hear?
That's a complicated one.
It is. It's complicated. So you got to have the willingness to do it and the desire. You know, sometimes it takes a little time. Because you have to surrender in order to do it.
Yes. Right. Yes. You have to humble yourself and ask for help.
All right. But if you do that, you end up like you two guys. You're awesome. I mean, I really appreciate you coming in and talking to us. It's going to be fun to follow up with you in a year or two and buy your poetry and buy your dinners.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are great. Thank you for coming in. Again, this is Ben Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Next week, we're going to have a very special guest on who many of you know, who has given a lot. He's been a successful business person and has given a lot to the community. What made him not just retain his earnings, but really give back. He's got a great love for Green Bay and people like you. So, again, thank you for being here. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We will see you next Sunday. You're simply the best.